the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee, joins us. And I'm first of all, congratulations on the work and the workload that you've gone through over the last while. But can you, George, put this into context? Like, of all, with all the deals you made, I got to think there's 100 for every one you made. There's 100 that you didn't make. Did you sleep at all over the last month?
We didn't get a lot of sleep last week. If we got 3 hours, 4 hours a night, that was good. But we didn't have to go around the clock, but it was pretty close.
I would imagine.
Yeah, there was a lot of negotiating that went on. And really only one team that, probably two teams that we didn't get a deal with that we thought they would want to they'd want to have a deal to protect their roster. So it sort of broke down three different ways. There were, there's a group of teams that really needed to protect their roster, and we got deals done. And then another cluster of teams that, you know, we got smaller deals done with. And then the third cluster that just said, you know, we're going to sit back and take who you're going to take.
George, you've been on the other side of this when expansion teams have come into the NHL, and I think you'd agree no team has had the ability to do all the things that you've done. Or, you know, we haven't seen expansion teams be able to accumulate draft picks, not this many right out of the gate, and move this many bodies around. Why has that been possible? Is it because Vegas is the first expansion team in the cap era and things have developed enough over the past decade or so that now teams are looking at different ways of dealing with the cap? Is that the fundamental difference between Vegas and other expansion teams?
Well, Damian, the rules were better for us, but we were dealing with some things that haven't been dealt with in the past, like free agents. There weren't, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense for us to claim free agents if they're going to be free in 2 weeks, unless it was just a sure. throwaway pick. And there were, you know, no move clauses that kept things a little muddy for a while, but we realized in a hurry that there weren't many players that were waiving them. So that worked in our favor. And there were some teams where if you just looked at their situation, there weren't many ways out other than you could hurt your team by trading a player and getting a younger asset back that didn't have to be protected. And then lose another guy to us. And so with those clubs, you know, there really wasn't a way out. But if we didn't do a deal with them, if they traded a player and then lost a player, you know, they lose and we lose too. You know, we just thought it would be better to get a deal done for something that made sense to us than claim the second best player or the third best player. And all you had to do was look at a situation like in Tampa where Steve made a nice move where he traded Drouin and brought back an exempt player. And they are suddenly, they don't have any protection problems.
That's right, in Tampa,
So those clubs that have protection problems, which we really tried to work with them to accommodate them, to help them protect their roster, but as long as there was a fair return to us.
With George McPhee, the GM of the Golden Knights, I haven't done the math, George. Are you at the floor now with your the contracts that you have accumulated? Have you gotten there?
No, we're at the ceiling. We certainly. Oh yeah, we're we'll actually. I think when the season starts, we'll be in the low 60s. But it's not a problem piling up contracts and. No, that was never an issue in any mock draft we did. We blew by that $48 million threshold quickly.
George, I've been watching you do your business for a long time in the NHL. You like to work quietly and behind the scenes. What was it like for you at the NHL Awards, being put on a stage beside your owner, all television lights, turn it into a big production as you selected your expansion team or your expansion draft selection? What was that like for you?
That wasn't easy from the standpoint of it was, we tried to do a walkthrough, we tried to get down for the rehearsal, but there was a lot going on, as you can imagine, players that we had to call that we had claimed and deals that were going on. And, you know, by the time that show started, I was, as you can imagine, just exhausted. And while I had a pretty good idea of what was going on, I didn't know what questions were coming. A couple times I had to get up and answer questions during the commercials in front of 20,000 people in the rink or whatever it was. And it was just a little disorienting for me. Just calling out the names was easy, but we couldn't hear Catherine and Darren. We couldn't hear them. Everybody in the building could hear them, but we had to look right at them to try to read their lips to figure out what they were saying because we couldn't hear them from where we were.
Wow.
So, you know, that's live TV. Things happen. And it went fine, I guess. And again, it's another thing that I haven't had time to reflect on. I haven't seen the show. I hope it went well. It sounded like it did. But you can sort of go from that right to the next thing. Like we ran out of there and jumped on a plane. Actually, we had a show with our fans right after that. A bunch of our fans stayed behind and we answered questions. Then we jumped on a plane, flew to Chicago, got in at 3, up at 6, and going again. And that's the way it's been. We got some sleep the last couple of nights, but boy, it feels like a hangover right now.
I'm guessing you probably haven't had time to pay much attention to the local media in Las Vegas, but I'm wondering if you know anything about their reaction to the events of those 72 or so hours between the expansion draft and the entry draft. Do you think your city is accepting, understanding of where you're at and what you did? And do they understand the philosophy that you brought to this process?
I think they do. I think I've read a few articles. I wasn't able to read all of them, but I think the writers, the beat writer here is really good. And one of the columnists here is really good. And he has really captured what has transpired here. And the one I read yesterday or the day before was really excellent. He interviewed a bunch of the kids that we drafted.
Right.
And what really came through the article was how great these hockey players are, how great these young hockey players are, because when you talk to them about their game, every one of them says, well, I have to improve on this, I have to improve on that, and they're very humble, different from some other sports where they talk about how they're just going to do this or they're going to rock this or they're going to do that. I think that really captured the essence of our sport. I was really happy that someone who's new to the sport actually caught that and wrote about it. And we have just had extraordinary coverage here, and not only in our market, but nationally, as you know, the Vegas Golden Knights have got a lot of attention. And it's been unbelievable how much attention this franchise has garnered. And you know, it couldn't have gone better for us in that regard. And I just think we have a terrific following here now because we are a team that was born here and is going to be bred here, and the support's there.
As the guy who drafted Alexander Ovechkin once upon a time, nobody knows better than you, and some other guys like Nicklas Backstrom, etc. Nobody knows better than you the need to at some point acquire one or more franchise players. And I think we know what we mean by that. You drafted a young man, Cody Glass, 6th overall. I'm sure you have high hopes for him. I don't think at this point in his development, it could change, that he would be defined as a franchise player. So when and how are you going to get one or two of those to drive this Vegas franchise? Just through the draft?
Well, I would hope so. And time will tell whether we can pull that off through the draft. We've tried to accumulate a lot of picks to be able to hit on one of those. And sometimes, you know, you get that guy in the second round, like a Shea Weber or people like that. Or a Braden Holtby that we got in the 4th round. So we'll do our best to do it through the draft. If there's another way to do it, at some point we'll have to try that as well, because as we all know, those guys are the real difference makers, and if you can get those guys in the right positions, you can win. And so we've got our base now, and I thought we had a really good draft, and we've got a lot of picks going forward, and that's the plan, and I've got the fingers crossed that it'll work.
I've I may be wrong on this assessment, but I'm intrigued by your thoughts about it. I believe there's been a philosophical change, although a subtle one and maybe not a widespread one, about 18-year-olds and kids that come right out of the draft. And do you give them a shot at the NHL, or do you mandate that they either stay in junior or ultimately pay some sort of homage to professional hockey by playing in the American Hockey League for a period of time? And I thought, with rare exceptions, most general managers for a long period of time thought the slower process was the better process. I mean, there's exceptions to the rule, but and yet the last few years we've seen more and more 18-year-olds come right out of the junior, right out of the draft, and get a shot in the National Hockey League. Here in Toronto is a perfect example of a place where that has happened with 18 and 19-year-olds. I'm wondering if philosophically you have an approach to that. Not necessarily this year, but just in general, George.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's a very good question, Bob, because I am in a lot of ways conflicted on that right now, because, you know, I've always believed in take your time, send them back to junior,
yep,
or college, and let them develop, because that will never ruin them. What does ruin them is if you put them in too early.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what I'm comfortable with, and we'll probably continue to go that way. But, you know, we've got a different generation of kids now. This millennial group is not patient. They don't believe in going up on every rung of the ladder, that you have to hit every rung. They leapfrog things. They're better players than we've ever had. They're better informed. They have everything they need at their fingertips, either on their smartphone or laptop at home, to find out better ways to train, better ways to eat, better ways to mentally prepare. And that group is better prepared to play in the league than we've ever had. And so while I may really want to take our time and do this right, what I believe is right, it may not be right with some of these kids. Some of these kids may come in and show us that they're ready to go.
At the other end of the spectrum, you drafted from the Ottawa Senators Mark Methot, and in many other expansion situations, he would have been an ideal guy to become the first captain of your expansion team. That's what it's been like in the past. I'm sure you could have well used him to, as you bring in some young players, some young defensemen, but you chose to move him on. When you speak of being conflicted, you traded him to Dallas. When you spoke of being conflicted, would he be a guy that you were conflicted in your own mind? Gee, we could really use him, but we got to take the future assets we can get for him.
Yes, that was not easy. He'd be the perfect guy to play with some of the young defensemen that we have, Theodore, Miller, Schmidt, players like that. Reinhart, we've got a bunch of young ones. But I, you know, we end up having too many players. Interestingly enough, when we went through the draft, we're looking for those young goalies that maybe we could claim and still get through waivers and have developed in the American League, but they weren't there. Most of those players were exempt. So that was, you know, it's something that, you know, we thought we'd be able to get five goalies and two at the NHL level and three working their way up in the minors, but that wasn't there to do. So we loaded up on defensemen, and we had to move some of them. And I had to, you know, what was most important in my mind was to be able to play these young guys, again, Reinhart and Miller and Schmidt and some of these young players, and see what they can do. Because Reinhart hasn't proven himself yet. Schmidt looks like he's on the cusp. Miller needs more ice time. Theodore needs to play, and so now is the time to find out if they can do it in these first couple of years. And we do have veterans that can play with them, whether it's Garrison or Engelin or Nab. So that was not an easy transaction, Damien, but we don't really have cap issues, but we did have too many players, and as you know, if you don't move them now, good luck trying to move them after July 4th or 5th,
right?
Because at that point, everything locks up. There's no liquidity, and people can't take anyone. And so we made our move.
It sort of speaks to my next question. And I mean, you've gone through this, I would assume it's been, well, you, by your own acknowledgement, chaos is maybe not the right word, but it's been tremendously busy in the days leading up to the expansion draft and then through the entry draft. And I would assume you're catching your breath now, but are there still substantial conversations ongoing?
Yeah, we have some deals that we're still talking about. We met, we came back on right after the draft on Saturday night, and we met Sunday morning and went through the day, and we're talking to teams, and we knew we'd have to move some people, and we wanted to get on it quick. And so we did the big, you know, we traded three defensemen between the end of the expansion draft and today. We did two before the draft, one after the entry draft. And we've got a couple more moves to make, and then we're in a good place. We're still having lots of discussion, and lots of people are calling. You know, everybody wants the younger, cheaper player, and we're not prepared to do that at this point.
So you had a bit of time off before taking on this task. Do you wish you had a little bit more time off now, mm-hmm. or are you glad to be right back in the thick of things?
Oh, no. The 2 years that I had off, I was working with the Islanders, but I wasn't managing, and there's a big difference there. And that was the, really, in retrospect, the right time for me in my life. I think I burned out in Washington, and I needed time. And I think I'm enjoying this business a lot more now than I was then. I've learned to smile a little bit more and have fun with the job. I'm really fortunate to be in the job. This has been a busy year. We've been preparing all year and working hard, but it's really not work. This is, I mean, what else would you rather be doing?
No, I hear you.
A little perspective goes a long way, yeah?
Sure does. Yeah, yeah. A little reality therapy is good.
Before we let you go, what's next on the agenda in terms of players? When do you bring players in? When do you start putting guys on the ice?
He's going to chase some free agents, I would think, this weekend.
Well, I am. As soon as this interview is over, I'm getting out of the car. I'm walking in the rink because the guys are on the ice in
there. You go.
5 minutes. So we've had to prepare for a lot of things, and fortunately, I think it's gone really well. And I'm looking forward to watching actual hockey players on the ice.
47 degrees last week in Vegas. Has it cooled off at all, McPhee?
Last week was a little warm.
Yeah, it was mild.
118 was a little much, but you know what? It's 105 today, and as you know, Bob, you get used to it, and I like it. I'd rather have 105 and dry than 96 and humid. I like the weather out here, and you told me a year ago that I was going to love this place, and I love this place. We live in a beautiful area in Summerlin, and boy, I just feel like I got lucky in a lot of ways.
Well, don't throw out all your winter stuff. Like, keep your toque and your winter jackets and all that stuff.
You might have a winter trip to Winnipeg.
Well, no, because when January and February rolls around and the high is 55 in Las Vegas.
He's going to feel cold.
And your blood has thinned. You're going to feel like it's like you're in Washington in a snowstorm. I'm telling you.
No, you're right. I ran early in the morning when I was here in January and February, and it's cold in the morning.
Yeah, it's cold. You bet it is.
And at night? But the days are beautiful.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. We thank you, as always, for your time. You're most generous with it. And good luck with the kids today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Damian.